podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to High School Hoops, Coach.
Yeah.
How are you? I have a lot more energy than when we started this thing, don't I?
I know.
Because we're batching a couple weeks.
I have coffee, so I feel really
No, good. You don't. Okay, so so those of you that are listening, I just gave Coach the evil eye, because earlier in the morning when we were batching some of these, I said, I'll go for some coffee. I have coffee in my refrigerator. He didn't have any made. He got some made. He's like his wife.
I didn't have some made. I have a wonderful wife.
Yes.
Coach's wife. Gosh. They're wonderful.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, all right. I'm really jealous. I'm going to get some coffee after this. So before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Best customer service. I've never done like a whole like series with anybody, just because, you know, I don't have time, and they asked me to do a whole kind of coaching, building a program series for them. And I did.
Yeah, how was that, by the way? Can you give us a little tidbit about that? I saw that on my Facebook. You just posted up for Dr. Dish and your face came up. I sent you a picture. You were laughing.
I know. It's great. I mean, it was fun. It was a little nerve wracking trying to get everything done.
Yeah, big
it was
deal. Fun.
But it was good. It was a lot of good information. So that's what I believe in Dr. Dish so much, because I did that for them. Go over and check them out. Mention High School Hoops. They'll give you $450 off. They'll take really, 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 really good care of you if you mention me. Trust me. And then go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. The one-stop shop. Coach looks like he's twirling his pen, and I'm talking about Teach Hoops. I'm talking about my baby. Don't be focused when I'm talking about my baby.
Sorry, I just...
It's like the kid in the third row. But go over and check that out. Big prices increasing, lots of changes. You know what the funny thing is? I asked my stats class. I'm a stats teacher, for those of you that don't know or just jumping in. I asked them, how often do you think, because it was one of those periods where I got asked like 45 questions between the bell and the bell. And I'm just sitting there going like, so it was a stat.
Were they math questions, or were they questions to get you off track?
They were everything. Like, when can I retake my quiz? Mr. Collins, I don't have batteries for my calculator. It's like just question after question. So I go, I bet I get asked a couple hundred questions, but I said, don't have empathy for me. I said, have empathy for the second grade teacher.
Because thank
think
you.
About how many questions they get asked.
I forget what they say, like 2,000 questions a day or something.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. And then the kids go, yeah, but it's all probably from one kid.
No.
There's the one kid that always asks the most questions.
Clearly.
There is always.
That is true.
One that asks several standard deviations more than the rest of them.
And it's the questions that are like so apparent every day in the routine of the which we do. Can I sharpen my pencil? Yes, you can sharpen your pencil. It's before 8 o'clock. We always sharpen our pencils before 8 o'clock to start our day. Blah, 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 blah. Can I go fill out my water bottle? Yes, every morning we fill up our water bottle. Blah, 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 blah.
It's a security blanket.
It is.
It's definitely a security blanket. I've learned to
not take it so personal and just remind them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I take it personal, I would not be able to do this another 20 years of my life.
Right. And the thing is, here's the thing is, I talk about, I have a pass for the bathroom. I tell them the first day or second day, I said, you're seniors in high school. If you have to go to the restroom next year in college, you're not going to ask the professor to go to the restroom. You're going to get up and you're going to go to the restroom, and then you're going to come back, and you miss what you miss. I said, you do not have to ask me. If the pass is hanging there, go get it. That's the only difference between here and college. I have to have you have a pass. But that's the only difference. I'd let you go. If I had my way, I'd just let you go. But because we're following the rules of the school, we're not going to do that. And I guarantee I had like three or four kids still ask me to go to the bathroom.
It's just something. It's also just something that they're so used to.
They're so used to. It's so used to. All right. So today's topic is practice planning, coach.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on this? I know this was one that you kind of, there was something you wanted to specifically talk about with practice planning. Do you remember what that specific
You know,
topic
I, and
was?
I'm actually today I'm going to be doing a coaching clinic for my grades 7th, 6th through 8th grade, and I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way of practice planning for 5-on-5. Do you like having a block within your practice, or do you like to do segmented blocks? So my high school coach and I've done for most of the time, we call them progressions. So we might do a series of different drills or small sided games or different things like that. And then we'll have a progression of 5-on-5. And there might be in that progression, we might work on our transitional break. And then the next progression might be more focused on working on our man-to-man defense concepts and guarding a certain screen. And then the next progression might be a zone progression. So just wondering what your thoughts about is, how do you infuse or how do you approach 5-on-5 in your practice? Do you see it as a whole or do you see it in parts?
Okay, so I think of it a couple ways. First of all, I try to run my practices in four quarters as much as I can, kind of a four-quarter practice.
Which are, we don't have four quarters anymore.
Yeah, but I try to run it that way where we have a halftime and we have breaks and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, as far as five, so I have always done a lot of 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5. I've always done that. I've done probably more 5-on-5 over the years. It really depends on the group. So again, I don't think you can teach into a box. This is why I hate some of the things in the education.
Yeah, I get it.
Because there's groups that I need to break a lot of stuff down before we go 5-on-5. And there's other groups.
And that's also depending on how many returning players you have.
Right. And it's also like this year's group, defensively, I know we're going to have to do some things more on the breakdown just because they don't get this. But right. I think we're going to have to, we're going to be able to jump into 5-on-5 faster. I know I was telling you, we had a coaches meeting yesterday and we're talking about, we're changing some stuff and moving things around and how we're going to work it in practice. And we're working on the master plan for the first couple weeks and those kind of things. And, offensively, the stuff that we're going to do offensively, I'm not nearly as concerned about. We will jump into that much faster 5-on-5. We will work on it all year in small things, but I don't have to. I'm not going to have to. But however,
I would say that for me, I'm the opposite. And so those are the observations that I've seen over the summer and from film, from the players that I know that I have returning back, and the players that are coming in. I'm far more confident in our defensive stuff than our offensive stuff. So I think you're making a good point, is that every year, the way that you structure practice or what you break down is different based on what players you have and what their strengths and weaknesses are, which is a great point.
Yeah. Do that. So we were teasing, we were just talking about Coach Collins retiring from teaching and blah, blah, blah before we jumped on here. And it's 35 years. It'll be, you know, this is my 35th year teaching. And I told my principal this. I think I feel like I'm in the groove. I think I got this. Because I think it's funny. You know what I mean? It's like, because last year was one of my eval years, whatever.
Yeah, summative year.
Summative year. Anyway, and I told him, I said, I think I got this. I think that's going to be the hard part. That's why I feel like it's bad leaving now, because I feel like I finally, because it's a rhythm. It's this rhythm. What works? What doesn't work? How do we do this? How do
yeah,
we?
Yeah, but your rhythm is always changing every season.
It is. You? That's the thing. That's the
so point. Like practice planning becomes a rhythm, right? And you're gonna have. I think at some point you think you have the rhythm, and you're gonna have to. I think practice planning becomes easier as the season moves on because you know your team and you know your rhythm.
Well, right? I think it also changes by for me by class period, like. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I have the same group of kids all day, so it's all about subject matter for me. But that's kind of like how class periods are too, right? Because it's a
yeah. So you mean,
but you have a different group of kids. My group of kids have not changed. It's just the content in which I teach.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, that is, so it changes in that direction. But I think, for practice planning, I'm going to tell coaches this. This is the secret sauce. I'm going to give it away 10 minutes into the high school hoops on this day. So if anyone's listening, here's the secret sauce. It is like drawing a painting. Coach and I drew the same painting. It would look different. Like if you gave me a, gave you gave both of us a landscape of a mountain and a stream, and we both drew it or painted it, it would look different. Lesson plans are very individualistic. They change. That your painting is not better than my painting. There's more than one way of painting. You might do abstract. I might do, you know, modern, whatever, or, you know, the Renaissance, whatever. I don't know much. Yeah, whatever it is. Yes. But they can both be beautiful and they can both work. It's the same with lesson plans and practice plans. There's more than one way of doing it. And it's very individualistic. So I can give you an outline and I can say, go run this practice. But the great teachers tweak it. The great teachers take the outline and make it.
And they're going to tweak it within the context of the practice.
Yes.
If things aren't going right, you know, you have to, you know, sometimes I would say one tidbit I would say is, you know, the importance of if it's not going well, stick to the plan of that 15, 20 or 8 minutes, whatever, and go back to it the next day. Or if they're not learning it in one way, but you know you have something in the back of your mind that you've used before, go ahead and use that now. You don't have to necessarily, you don't have to stick to it. It's not a concrete matter. So if they're not picking up something this way, it's totally okay to pivot into something else. Like you have complete ownership of how your practice is going.
100%.
I've done that all the time, even with teaching. Like, oh, I noticed that they're having a hard time with this strategy in math. I'm going to flip to this strategy, or I'm going to throw out manipulatives, or I'm going to throw out a 10 frame, blah, blah, blah. Like there are different ways. You might have to throw out cones. You might have to throw out this. You might have to do this. It's just, that's what the good coaches and good teachers do. They're always
constantly. There's more than one way to blank a cat. I don't think that's PC anymore. I wonder what the new thing would
for
be.
What?
The expression, more than one way to skin a cat. That does not seem alternative. What's a better alternative to that? There's more than
one
way.
I've never even heard that before.
You've never heard the expression, there's more than one way to skin a cat?
No, remember, you're on your 35th year teaching. I'm on my 14th year teaching. My wife has heard it.
Okay. Because I know. Okay. Anyway, I'm sure that's not like that's not yes. So I just there's a website that says the Animal Rights Action Site, and there's the animal friendly alternative for kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
The Animal Rights Action thing doesn't like that. So they go there's a feeding two birds with one scone. I don't think that's quite
I like
as good.
That actually. That's funny.
There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's many ways to eat a kiwi. I don't like that one as much. But
I assume that people are going to love this episode today because it just totally went to the opposite direction. But
no, but that's part. First of all, who cares? Second of all, we're doing this to give back to the game. Third is part of.
And there's multiple ways to eat a kiwi. There's multiple ways
to run a podcast. And I think people like our podcast because it's just you and I being real. I mean, I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. And we interrupt. What do we write? We interrupt this marriage to bring you
basketball
season. I stole this. Did I ever tell you where that came from? I stole that from my brother's house.
Really?
Yeah, because he had it when he was coaching my niece. And then his wife said, oh, you can just take that home. And I go, okay, I did. Now it's been back there every time. All right, until next week, Coach.
First podcast, by the way. You've had that for a long time.
I've had that a long time. All right, bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.